Man, we did have a fantastic week this week. Almost 220 kids, more than 100 volunteers. I want to give you another number, 1,800. That's the number of pounds that our kids donated for our June food drive. And I want to thank our folks in our special needs ministry who helped gather those every single day. They were scattered all throughout this room, and they got them back into the room, and they weighed them every day, and they let Crew 15 know that they had won the challenge the week of bringing in the most food. I think they brought in something like 350 pounds just by themselves. So it was a great week. And this is Vacation Bible School Sunday, and it is also Father's Day. And so shout out to your dads. So if you've got a dad here, go ahead and give him a little side hug. Or if you don't have that kind of relationship, you can give him a little fist bump. And if you don't have the kind of relationship where you can hug your dad, we do have counseling appointments for you so you can. It's also the end of a sermon series that we've been in for the last several weeks on the book of 1 Thessalonians. And so all the kids in the room, I want you to say Thessalonians. Now, I know you can get louder than that. So say Thessalonians. Well done. Well done. So we've got Father's Day. We got VBS. We got the sermon series on Thessalonians. All these kind of worlds are colliding on this Sunday. And when worlds collide, things can get a little strange. It's like when I was in kindergarten, I remember seeing my kindergarten teacher, Miss Lariah Merritt, for the very first time in the supermarket. And I was like, what is Miss Merritt doing out of the elementary school? What is she doing out of? And something dawned on me this week. I am now in the camp of Miss Merritt, because I was at our Publix, our new Publix on 540A. Shout out to the Publix on 540A. And I was just getting some things for my family and going back. And this little kid was there, and I'm not going to call them out. They were staring at me, like big dinner plate eyes, like, what is going on? And then their mom approached me. He goes, oh, Pastor Zach, we're having such a good week at VBS. And the kid almost passed out. Like, they're like, what is Pastor Zach doing not at church? Like, is it everything okay at church? Like, because it gets weird when you see somebody out of their world and in a different world. When worlds collide, it gets strange. And that's kind of where we find ourselves today. And yet, this whole week at Vacation Bible School, the kids have been learning about how to trust Jesus no matter what. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians, everybody say Thessalonians. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul, the guy who wrote this book, this letter, he is like a spiritual father for this church. In fact, if you read 1 Thessalonians 1, he describes himself as their spiritual father. And he wants this church to learn the exact same lesson that these kids have learned all this week, that they can trust Jesus no matter what. And they've got a lot of reasons to question their trust in Jesus, because they're going through some hard times. And so the whole letter is about Paul telling them how they can trust in Jesus. And as he closes this letter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he begins to do what a lot of dads and moms do. He begins to give them a list of instructions. Now, nobody told me that being a parent was going to be so much involved with giving your kids instructions, giving them things to do. Like yesterday, I was with my kids. I was putting together some furniture in our house, and I was like giving my son instructions. Okay, you need to like take the trash out of the empty cardboard boxes and flatten the cardboard boxes. You need to put them, don't put them there, put them here. You know, and it was just one instruction after the other. And I'm like, oh my gosh, so much of parenthood is giving your kids instructions. So this week I asked some of the kids in Vacation Bible School, what are some of the instructions that their parents are always giving them to do? And so I decided to put it on video. So here are some of the kids and their responses of what their parents are always telling them to do.
Tell me to to clean my room whenever my friends make a mess. And also they tell me to brush my teeth before they play with me. To brush my teeth.
Clean my room. And like clean up stuff when, like, when it's all dirty, they tell me to clean up the stuff that I don't want to do.
Brush my teeth.
She's always telling me to take out the trash, do the dishes, vacuum the house, and put away my clothes.
Clean my room. Clean the house.
I like it because I get to eat apples, Mom, because Mom says it's nature's toothbrush.
Yeah, to keep my teeth clean.
Well, I think it's kind of boring, honestly.
No. No, I do not.
Okay, so apparently some of you parents have some really dirty houses, and you use your children as servants. I mean, that's right. Tyson, why else do you have kids, right? I mean, that's... So it was so funny, because I didn't really tell the kids what to say, but it all came down to clean up and clean your mouth. And the interesting part was, I don't know if you noticed this, the kids were okay with brushing their teeth. They were like, yeah, well, of course, yeah. I hate the way my mouth feels. It's nasty. I get it, you know? But parenthood, a lot of parenthood is about instructions. And Paul, as the spiritual parent to the Thessalonians, as he's ending this letter, he gives them a list of kind of closing instructions. And they can kind of be categorized. These instructions can kind of be categorized into a few different areas. And the first area of instruction that Paul gives them is about how they should treat the leaders amongst them. This is what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you, and they give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said and hold on to what is good." Paul says, look, there are leaders in the church. There are people that are there, and they're working hard. So respect them and honor them. Now, this week at Vacation Bible School, again, we had about 220 kids, and we had over 100 adult leaders. So I want to just do this for a second. If you were an adult volunteer this week, if you volunteered as a crew leader, a crew assistant, or if you were a teenager who was volunteering, you weren't in the program, but you were a teenager, and you were in the drama, you were in sticky scriptures, you were out on the, you know, the field with the kids playing games. If you were one of those, can you stand up? Let's stand up. Be proud. Yes, give them a hand. There were so many of them. There were others in our other service and some folks that came from outside this church. And they worked really hard. They worked really, really. I mean, I saw crew leaders like being used as jungle gyms, and you know, they were running around with these kids, and they were, you know, cleaning up after them. If they had to use the restroom, they were taking them to the restroom. They were working so hard, and they did that because they loved the kids. They did that because they loved the Lord. They were working as servants for the Lord. And here's the thing. I've worked as a leader in the church almost my entire life. I worked as a leader in the church almost my entire life. And I work in the church because I love it. And I love Jesus. And I love seeing people lit up about Jesus. I love it because people ask questions when they have, you know, challenges and doubts. And I love helping them navigate those challenges and those doubts. And there's a lot to it. And sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it is hard. And so Paul is saying, look, when you've got people amongst you who are working hard for you, it's good to respect them. Does that mean that you revere them? Does that mean that you hold them up and they can never do anything wrong and they never make any mistakes? No. In fact, he says, test what they say and hold on to what's good. But in all things, respect and honor them. Now, the words respect and honor here do not mean they can do no wrong. You know, one of the things I like about our culture here at FPC, and this is not like any kind of an indictment on any other church, we do not have staff parking spaces here. You're not going to go around our parking lot and see, you know, reserved for Pastor Zach. You're not going to see a spot that says reserved for Libby Chapel, who's our special needs ministry director. Now, Libby deserves it for sure. I do not, but you're not going to see that. Why? Because we're servants for you. We're not perfect. And the words respect and honor here, they don't mean to hold people up and put them on a pedestal. It means just understand them. Understand what they do and what they're going through and understand the sacrifices that they make on our behalf. And so Paul gives the church in Thessalonica a set of instructions about how they're to treat their leaders. Then he gives them another set of instructions about how they're to treat each other. In verse 12 or verse 13, this is what he says. He says, "And live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient," notice this, "with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people." This is about what it means to help each other, to care for each other, to be unified with each other, no matter who they are. You know, the kids were learning all this week about how they can trust Jesus no matter what. On the second day, they learned the lesson that when we feel alone, we can... See, that I didn't even have to teach them to say that. They got it. Nikki, good job. They picked that up, right? When we feel alone, we can... Now, kids, I want you to look at your parents, and if they don't say, trust Jesus... Give them a dirty look, okay? All right? When we feel alone, we can... That was okay. We're going to give you another chance later. But the idea is that Jesus is there for us even when we don't have anybody else. Now, the challenge here is that Jesus isn't physically present with us anymore. That Jesus is not someone right here, right now, where I can reach out and hold his hand. I can't give Jesus a hug right here, right now. But what they learned this week is that Jesus has given us each other. He's given us this thing called the church so that when we're weak, when we're feeling vulnerable, when we're feeling timid, when we are alone, we can trust each other. And in doing so, we can trust Jesus. Now, here's the crazy part. Here's the part that I absolutely love this week. Is that I saw kids living this out this week. On the very first day, you know what happens, parents, when you drop your children off on the very first day of school, when you drop your children off at a place that they've never been before, a lot of them will start to cry and they'll start to get upset because they're feeling vulnerable, they're feeling alone, they're feeling weak. They're feeling like I'm unfamiliar territory. And we had this little girl who was having a hard time in one of the crews. And immediately there was another little girl in that same crew. Her name is Harper. And she immediately reached out and put her arm around her, this other little girl. And when they were singing, she was encouraging her to sing. And when she didn't feel like singing, she was just too upset, Harper just kept her arm around her. This is like a first grader, guys. And then throughout the day, this very first day, I'm walking around and I'm taking video and all these things. And I see Harper holding this little girl's hand. And in crafts, she's helping the little girl with crafts. And by the end of the day, that little girl was up and singing and dancing. And the next day, I saw that same little girl clock Harper and run straight to her and hug her. And I thought, man, they must have been like friends this whole time. And I found out from Tanner, who was her crew leader, he goes, "No, Pastor Zach, they never met before this week." I was like, What? Paul says right here, he says, do good to each other and to all people. Do good to each other and all people. Live peacefully with each other. He says, take tender care. Be patient with everyone. Harper was already doing that. I'm like, congratulations, Harper. There's nothing more to teach you. You got it down. But the problem is we don't. We'll do good to people that we know. our children, our spouses, our friends, people who vote like us, people who talk like us. Yeah, I'll do good to them, but not these strangers. Not these people I don't know. Not these people who disagree with me. I don't know. Paul says, everyone. Live at peace with everyone. Be good to everyone. And in doing so, we take the love of Jesus and we put a magnifying glass on it. Because here's how Jesus loved us. Jesus loved us so much that while we were still sinners, while we were still making mistakes, while we were still messing up, not when we were perfect, not when we had everything together, not when we were making straight A's, not when we were on the all-star team, not when we got the promotion, while we were big, giant screw-ups, Jesus died for us. That's how much he loved us. Not when we were saying, yes, I want to be on Jesus' team, but he died for us. He loved us when we said, no, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And when we take seriously the instruction that Paul put out there to live at peace with everyone, to do good to everyone, even strangers we don't know, people who are weak, people who are vulnerable, people who are timid, people who are hurting, we put a magnifying glass on who Jesus is to us. We tell the whole world, yes, we believe we can trust in Jesus. And we invite you to come along with us. That's why this set of instructions is so powerful and so important. And it seems impossible to live into that. To do good to everyone? To live at peace with everyone? Even those who are hurting? Zach, what about the times that I'm hurting and weak? Well, then God's going to send somebody to be there for you. But how am I supposed to live out those set of instructions? This is why in the middle of these instructions, Paul puts a prayer. This is how Paul prays in the middle of these instructions. This is what he says in verse 23. He says, now may the God of peace make you holy. When I don't feel like living at peace, it's the God of peace who makes us holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. This is a prayer. The fancy word that we use in the church is it's a benediction. Everybody say benediction. Benediction. That was terrible. Kids, help them out. Benediction. Benediction. So good. That back row is killing it right now. They're ready. They're ready to start shouting amen. The word benediction, it just means a good word. And the good word that Paul has for them is, look, there are a lot of instructions here. And it seems impossible. But God, who is the God of peace, will give us the peace we need to show other people when we don't have peace. He will make us holy and blameless when there's no other way. Only God can do it. That is the good word that Paul has for the people. Even when it seems impossible. The last set of instructions that Paul gives kind of is just like a laundry list of things. Verse 16, this is what Paul writes. He says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now, these are all great reminders that Paul gives the church. All great reminders that Paul gives us. They're good reminders, and they're things that we read them. They're like, yeah, Paul, that seems obvious. Yes, it would be great to always be joyful. It would be great, Paul, to never stop praying. It would be great, Paul, if I could be thankful in all circumstances. And I hear that and I go, yeah, I get that. But it's kind of like, you know, people that say, you know, take your vitamins, eat your vegetables, brush your teeth twice a day. You're like, yes, I know I need to do that. But let me tell you, when's the last time I took my vitamins? I can't even remember. I know I feel better if I consistently take my vitamins. I know I feel better if I consistently eat my vegetables. I know I feel better if I get outside and walk around and go for a run. I know I feel better, but sometimes I don't have time for it. I feel like I don't have time for it, so quit nagging me, right? And Paul is kind of putting these final sort of instructions out there, just one bullet point after the other, to say, look, I know it seems difficult. I know it seems difficult. But there's never a moment when we're not going to be better off spiritually, emotionally, relationally, if we don't remember to pray. If we remember to pray, we're going to be better off. When we're in trouble, when we're hurting, when we feel like we don't have any hope, when we feel alone, when we feel like we need help, when we feel powerless, we're going to feel better if we remember to go to God in prayer. And when we're in prayer to express gratitude for what we see around us, that's awesome. To express gratitude for our families, to express gratitude for our church, to express gratitude for the jobs that we have, to express gratitude for the community we live in. And even when everything seems like there's no reason to give thanks, I'm going to find a reason to give thanks. And suddenly my perspective changes, even when it's tough. And we do that, God does something amazing in us. God does something amazing in us when we remember to always pray, when we remember to express gratitude. This crazy thing happens where the Holy Spirit actually fills us up. And our attitudes change, and our perspective changes, and our relationships change. And so when we are faced with situations that try to poke holes in our lives and try to poke holes in our spirit and try to poke holes in our faith, we actually have the ability to resist that. Now, one of the things that was really cool this week at Vacation Bible School was at the end of the day, they would do kind of a closing ceremonies every day, and Ranger Jessica, who is a teacher, put her teacher hat on, and she taught the kids some crazy, awesome kind of science experiments. And one of the things that she did was she took out a balloon and she put a pin in the balloon. Now, what happened to the balloon? Now, it did what? This is like really sad that you don't know what happens when you... It popped, right? Kids, you saw it. It popped, right? It popped. Now, Ranger Jessica also did another experiment with a bag. This time, she filled the bag with water, and she used some pencils, and she started to poke holes in it. Now, I thought I was going to get up here, and I was going to be brave enough to actually do this experiment live in front of you, but I thought, you know, Ranger Jessica also already did it, so I don't have to. And yes, that is my daughter, Hannah, right underneath that big bag of water that's having holes poked into it. There she goes. And it doesn't pop, right? It doesn't pop. It doesn't leak. Now, I trusted the science behind this. I did not trust my ability to actually perform the science. But, you know, all the kids were like, whoa. And the reason is because the bag is filled with water. The bag is filled with something so it can resist all of the bombardments on its being. That when things are trying to poke holes in it, it doesn't fall apart. And when we go to the Lord in prayer consistently, Paul is reminding the church, when we go to the Lord in thanksgiving for all that he's given us, he's filling us with something powerful, something that can help us in the middle of all the situations that we face that are trying to poke holes in us so that we will not waver, so that we will not fall apart. Paul understood how important this was. And so the final words that he gives to the Thessalonians is a prayer for himself. Just as much as he's praying, he's asking them to pray for him. So this is what he says in verse 25. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Trusting in Jesus, being in a relationship with Jesus, it means following instructions sometimes. Following instructions so that we can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, so we can tap into this powerful presence and this powerful person that will sustain us when everything is trying to poke holes in our lives. Being in a relationship with Jesus and trusting Jesus means being in relationship with other people so that we can have ways to trust him with each other and actually feel it. Yeah, we don't always like instructions, but we know they're important. Otherwise, we parents, we wouldn't give our kids so many instructions. And these instructions are meant to help the church trust Jesus so that when we wonder, we can
trust Jesus.
I like that. Man. I'm going to bring you back every week. Now, that's going to be good. When we feel When we feel alone, we can
trust Jesus.
Oh, see, now the parents are starting to get into it now. When we feel hopeless, we can
trust Jesus.
When we need help, we can all these instructions, they're meant to help us. They're meant to help us trust Jesus more. We can do that together in a community if we're ready to answer his call. I'm going to close us in prayer. And as I close us in prayer, if you're a kid in Vacation Bible School, I invite you to come back up and help lead us in our final song. But I'm going to pray. So as I'm praying, if you guys want to come on up, you can. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us this great and awesome gift called the church and each other. Help us, Lord, to trust you more and more. We give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.